The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. God will fulfill God's purposes, and already hidden signs of that fulfillment abound. On that great day there will be dismay, perplexity, confusion, and terror, but God's people shall be given strength to stand boldly and receive God's promised redemption. The Gospel reading. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, greetings, one and all, and boys and girls out there in internet land. It's good to see you and be with you today. I have two things with me today, a brick and a piece of paper. And on this piece of paper are the words, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, I want to ask you, first of all, which of these two things will last longer, the brick or the piece of paper? Seems pretty easy to answer that question, doesn't it? The brick can last for many years, even hundreds of years, especially if it's part of a building. The brick buildings can survive for a long, long, long time. The piece of paper, on the other hand, cannot last for hundreds of years unless you take very good care of it. But there is something on the paper that can last forever, and that are the words. Words can last forever, especially if they're passed on from person to person and generation to generation and are copied from paper to paper. Jesus knew that, and that's why he said in our gospel lesson, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus knew that the people around him would pass away, that the buildings around him would pass away, and even heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would last forever. I was thinking about some of those words of Jesus that we hear, that we know will last forever. Maybe you can think of some of them at home and share them with your parents or your family. Words like, do to others what you would have them do to you. Or maybe, blessed are the peacemakers. Or when Jesus said, let the little children come to me. These are important words that we hear and that will last forever. So boys and girls, I want you to remember those words and share them with your family and your friends so that these words will last longer than any brick. Let's end with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your promises and the words that we hear from our Lord Jesus that will last forever. Help us to learn those words, to take them into our hearts, and to live by them and to share them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What would we do without signs? Probably don't think about them much, but you use them every day. They tell us which streets are one way, how fast you're allowed to drive, where to find a restroom, where to buy a meal, the dangerous places to avoid, where to find a sale, and a zillion other things that are a part of our everyday life. Where would we be without signs? But what happens when signs give us a mixed message or are contradictory? For instance, from Los Angeles, California, caution, blind drivers backing out. Or from San Diego, cruise ships, use airport exit. How about these mixed messages from Utah, 6 mile village, 3 miles. Or another one from Los Angeles, antique tables made daily. From Racine, Wisconsin, Happy Easter, we rent handguns. In our gospel reading from the 21st chapter of Luke, Jesus is talking to his disciples about signs that will precede the return of the Son of Man to earth. And he speaks of cosmic changes, signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, as well as distress among the nations and deep foreboding in the hearts of people. Some of us might want to say, well, that's fine, but I'm not having that kind of certainty when I look at the world. We've got all kinds of changes. Witness hurricanes ravaging the Gulf Coast or flooding here in Tennessee, or the wildfires and droughts caused presumably by global warming. And certainly there's no shortage of distress among nations today, is there? But some of us might want to say, well, that's fine. But in one form or another, all of this stuff has been going on for thousands of years. So what do those signs mean other than life isn't easy? Is Jesus about to come back? Or are what we are witnessing just the way things are in the world? One senior citizen remembers as a kid hearing a grown man commenting on world troubles in the news at that time and saying, "We must be living in the end time." But now that little kid is an old man himself and the world is still going on. So the troubles back then weren't signs of the end after all. Now, Jesus comment about signs is a part of a conversation that he's having with his followers. And some of them commented, you see, on the magnificent stones used in the building of the temple. And Jesus responded by saying that the day would come when not one stone would be left standing. He was clearly predicting the destruction of the Jerusalem temple by the Romans in 70 AD. Jesus' followers then ask what sign will signal the coming of that calamity, and Jesus answers with a list of troubles: false messiahs, wars and insurrections, earthquakes, famines, plagues, cosmic disturbances, and persecutions. And then we get to the passage that is our text today, and all at once, Jesus is talking about these disturbing signs as signals that he's about to return to earth. Well, I can imagine his hearers' confusion. Say, what? I thought we were talking about the end of the temple and the city, and now you're speaking of the end of time. And of course, we know that didn't happen in AD 70. And finally, as if to cement the confusion, Jesus says to his hearers, truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Okay, we say, but which things? Here we are today at the beginning of the Advent season. The word Advent means coming or arrival, and it symbolizes both the era before Jesus came the first time when people were waiting for the promised Messiah, and also our era before the Messiah comes again. And neither the people who lived before the first Advent nor we who live before the second have proven very adept at reading the signs. The troubles in our world today could be read as signs, but you know, once those troubles are past, then they seem in retrospect to not have been signs at all, but simply events which are now part of history. Yet we cannot dismiss the idea that some events are indeed signs, and to miss a sign can mean to not be ready for what they portend. Consider this example. World War II actually started on September 1st, 1939, when Hitler's army invaded Poland. But there was a warning sign before that. Hitler's original plans called for his army to invade Poland on the preceding week, August 26th. In fact, he had combat units in place and ready by that date. But the evening before the 26th, some last-minute developments, including Italy's sudden refusal to not help with the invasion, caused Hitler to put his plans on hold. He had word sent out by radio to all of his units to come home. But communication technology being what it was in 1939, one unit didn't get the message. So thus, at the stroke of midnight on the 26th, that unit entered Poland and captured a strategic mountain pass and railway and took some Poles as prisoners. When that unit's leader telephoned headquarters to report the victory, however, he was told of the change of plans. So he released his prisoners and led his unit back home. Naturally, that stumble could have alerted the Polish leaders that Germany was up to no good. But they let the incident pass without recognizing what it meant. Thus, when the Germans did invade Poland on September 1st, the Poles were taken by complete surprise and quickly succumbed. They were not ready. Let me tell you that the idea of not being ready can happen spiritually as well. An old poem titled, "If Jesus Came to Your House," puts the idea of Jesus' return in a more one-on-one setting. It begins by asking what you would do if Jesus suddenly announced he was coming to visit at your house for a few days. Would you be eager to see him, or would you be busy hiding certain materials that you'd be embarrassed for him to see? Would your family conversation be able to go on as before, or would there have to be some coaxing of family members to clean up their act? Would you suddenly have to begin using a table grace? Would you want him to meet your closest friends? The poem ends by asking, would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? The poem captures some of the anxiety that the idea of missing the signs suggests. So, in attempting to understand and interpret the events of our day, I think one hazard is that we'll miss the signs altogether, but a greater danger is that we will misread them. We can watch reports of great trouble in the news and look at the difficulties in our own lives and view them as signs that despair is warranted. It's enough to make us lose hope. But my friends, it would be a shame to do that, because despair can cause us to miss the most important thing Jesus said in this whole passage. Remember that he was talking to those who were following him, and to them he said, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near." Your redemption is drawing near. In other words, Jesus says that to read the world's troubles only as omens of doom is to misread them. Instead, and against all conventional logic, we should see them as foreshadowing our redemption, advance notices of God's kingdom coming, in which, as followers of Jesus, we already hold our citizenship. My friends at First Lutheran Church, the long view is what is called for. Thus, if we believe Jesus, then we should not view Advent as merely a preparation season for Christmas, rather as a time to remind ourselves not to misread the calamitous signs in our world as reasons to despair, but rather as signs to stand up and raise our heads, because our redemption is drawing near. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And let me invite you to stand as you are able, and we'll sing our hymn of the day.